Hello,
Blog Talk Radio.
This is Sally L. Cordy, and welcome to Public Advocate. Today, my guest should be Vicki Berg, and I say should be because she hasn't called in yet, and we are 5 minutes into the show. So I'm hoping that all is well with her and that there was not some miscommunication. Vicki has been, you know, in a really bad place for quite some time, because her beloved husband, Michael Berg, took his own life because he suffered profound effects from the anthrax vaccine. I interviewed him twice, once with Vicki, and he was in a really bad way. And these ailments, some of them at least, did pass on to their children. And so that's so unforgivable when things are passed on to the next generation. As I always say, they didn't sign up for this, you know. Nobody signs up for this. Nobody really understands the peril that they're being put to due to the vaccinations. But he was given the anthrax vaccine, and the VA, where he lived, which is in Wisconsin, was not acknowledging that the many side effects or adverse reactions he was suffering from were as a result of the anthrax vaccine. And this is a huge dilemma for all of these servicemen who, the ones who served in the Gulf War. I don't know if all of them were denied at least acknowledgement. I can't even say that it could be treated, but let's say it could have, whether it could or it couldn't have been, to be denied acknowledgement that the vaccine that they were forced to take created these problems. That's just adding insult to injury, literally, insult to injury. So eventually he took his own life because he had no way out, basically. And it just got so bad for him that he didn't see any alternatives. So he left his wife and three children, and, you know, she's been in a very difficult situation ever since. So I don't know why she's not calling in. I know that she contacted me late last night, and by the time I saw her message and responded, I presume she had gone to bed. But I wanted to do a show in memory of Michael Berg, and I wanted to ask her what I'm asking everybody right now, which is, why do we need a moratorium on vaccination now? So anyway, what I'm going to do is end the show and include underneath in the comment area, if you open the link to this program and you scroll down to the comment area, you will hear both interviews that I had with Michael and one with Vicki as well. So this is I'm very saddened that she is not up to joining me today for whatever reason. And as I say, I will post previous interviews that we've done together and wish her well, you know. That's all I ever have for Vicki. She's a beautiful person, a strong woman, and she's just been dealt a very serious blow. So all the best to everybody. Now, I guess I should take a moment and explain that what the National Memorial to Vaccination is about. I had gone to Washington, D.C., and addressed the at the Department of Health and Human Services, the National Vaccine Advisory Committee. And I had called upon them to recommend a national moratorium on vaccination. I came prepared with a statement from Dr. Vera Scheibner, which quite frankly, it was short and perfect. You know, it was a perfect statement, and it was scientific. And that was very important because I'm looking at a sea of 50 committee members, probably a third of them in military uniform, and they're all doctors and scientists. So I knew that I could not, even though I really wanted to represent on behalf of the hundreds of families I have interviewed with vaccine-injured children or dead from vaccines, their children, I really wanted to. But I had seen a friend of mine who has an autistic child address a different committee, and they were so indifferent to this woman's really important statements, you know, and the life that had served for her child and for the entire family. And they just could not have cared less. They were bordering on yawning, looking at their watches and staring at the ceiling, or they were yawning, looking at their watches and staring at the ceiling. And eventually she yelled, "Shame on you!" And at that point, I saw the video. I was, you know, cheering. I was like, yes, shame on them. So I thought, how can I be taken seriously, even though what she had to say could not have been more serious? How can I address them so that they don't ignore me, or so that they can't dismiss what I'm saying, basically? So I thought, okay, I can't really represent on behalf of these families and their real horrors, because they don't care, obviously. So shall I read them The Quality of Mercy, which is a speech by Portia from The Merchant of Venice by Shakespeare? That is a humdinger of a poem, let me tell you. And it's what they needed to hear. But again, these are not humanitarians. They are scientists. So I thought I must address them scientifically. And I reached out to Dr. Vera Scheibner, who has done more research than everybody on the planet put together on vaccines. She is just a phenom, and she's written many books and just endless articles. So I thought, I'm going to ask her if she'll help me. I said, I only have 3 minutes. Can you help me make a statement? Now, I never told her I was going to ask for a national moratorium on vaccination, because I didn't need to tell her that. Absolutely in step when it comes to banning vaccines. So I didn't have to tell her that. So I read her statement, and which was filled with scientific jargon, as I had hoped it would be. And yes, dear. Yes, dear. Oh, that must be the mailman. Well, the mailman's here.
Okay.
Okay, honey, he's gone now. Yeah, I'll bet. This is good for a good bark for a couple of minutes when the mailman comes. And then he goes to the neighbor's house. And that's all the more reason to bark. Yeah, there's the neighbor's house. That's my dog, Awesome. And really, he's become an awesome barker. So anyway, all right, honey. Okay, sweetie, stop. That's enough. Get down. Get down. Get down. Well, I'm going to start growling at him any minute. Okay, no, Vicky still hasn't called in. Yeah, so I read this statement filled with scientific jargon and, you know, absolutely hitting the nail on the head. It's amazing how a mere 3 minutes is you can say it all. And she did, as succinctly as possible. And so after that statement, I then did call for this advisory committee to recommend a national moratorium on vaccination. And basically, it's something I did because I've been trying to ban vaccines since 2009. I'm repackaging it as moratorium. I don't care how people can relate to it. Doesn't matter. It's still poison. It still causes every disease in internal medicine, and it's still intended to. So let's call it a moratorium. let me just say, this has caught on. People are giving me interviews up, down, and sideways about why they feel a moratorium on vaccination is needed. And what I find so fascinating is every single person has a different reason. I just kicked it off on August 1st because we are going on August 1st through the end of October. We are going within each state and taking our banner, which you can grab on my page or on my blog. You can just grab the banner. It says, "Unite to Save Our Children. Call for a national moratorium on vaccination now." And it has the black ribbon for vaccine injury and death. So it's, you know, it's not a happy poster, but it's a very attractive poster. And my friend Joe Jones of airmail-greetings.com designed it. It's just glorious. But anyway, so the banners went out to all the people who said they wanted to participate, and they will be circulating them publicly in their own states and educating people as they go and taking photos and videos and basically getting the word out that this is the plan. And by the end of October, we will all convene in D.C. and take a myriad of actions therefrom. So if you want to participate, we'd be thrilled. We have 20 states on board thus far. So it doesn't matter if you're in one of the states that's already involved or you want to start it up in your state. Either way, please do participate. And so anyway, it basically started on June 7th when I called for it there. And then I thought, well, you know, people are responding to this. And you never know what's going to catch on, you know. This did. So I'm going with it. And if we are dogged and determined, we will prevail by the end of October. If everybody looks to somebody else to stand up or speak out on their behalf, we will not prevail. And there's no time. You know, when I went to this meeting, I listened to them talk, and they were talking about adult vaccines. It happened to be the session that I was attending. It didn't matter to me which session I was going to call for moratorium regardless, but they were all relating to vaccines. The next day was the HPV vaccine, for example. So anyway, they said they would be enforcing the one of the speakers, talked about enforcing the adult vaccination schedule, which is exhaustive, just like the children's, through Homeland Security. Well, I've had the Department of Transportation's involved. There's so many ways that the Department of Transportation could be involved, and I'll give you an example. I was reading an article from, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago, 7 years ago, and it was about a woman who was pulled over for a broken taillight. Well, I don't know which state this was in, and I guess that's important, you know. But regardless, they checked, investigated her when they went back to the car. I guess they have a computer. And they found that her child had not taken his MMR booster shot. And the child wound up in jail. Well, that's how the Department of Transportation can get involved. That sounds like a one way, you know. Another way would be checkpoints. I saw many years ago there was a video that has subsequently disappeared, but it was absolutely jarring. Looked like families out on a Sunday drive, and before they entered a bridge, people in uniforms with guns over their backs administered in the back seat to the children a live polio vaccine that they drank. So that was administered at a checkpoint, which would be entering the bridge. So I'm sure when this family went out for a Sunday drive, they didn't expect their children would be administered vaccines on the highway, you know, or on the bridge entryway. So yeah, if they really want to vaccinate you, they're going to do it, unless, of course, you will stand with me. This is your critical moment, adult, because the children have suffered unbelievably. We have 54% of our children are chronically ill. I don't know anybody growing up, one kid I knew who had asthma, okay, one. I'm trying to think of it. One woman I worked with when I was younger had allergies. Oh, one. Now we're talking about 54% of kids are chronically ill, and, you know, all of these things add up to an early demise. So a lot of them will not be outliving their parents, their grandparents, and their great-grandparents. They will not have a significant life expectancy, and the quality of their life is diminished, be it, you know, all of these asthma and allergies and seizures. My Lord, how many things can go wrong when you have a seizure? I mean, a friend of mine had a seizure. She fell on her arm. She wound up for weeks in a hospital, and it's because she's vaccine injured, you know? So it's just one thing leads to the next, and she has vaccine-injured children. So who's going to care for them while she's in the hospital, you know? It's very serious, all these problems that are resulting from vaccination, and vaccination is preventable. They keep talking about vaccine-preventable diseases. Vaccines have never prevented any disease. This is complete hogwash. This is the big fat lie. This is the big fat lie. And, you know, you see the people with posters outside of the CDC. Mine would read, "I did not come here to debate your lies. Vaccines are poison. How dare you poison our children?" And I want to give a shout out to the pediatricians who accept Kayola to keep kids fully vaccinated. They get a much bigger payday if they do. So everybody's in on it except the kids. And sometimes when I'm educating parents and they're not completely listening to me, a kid will grab my leg. We're talking about a little child. Just grab it and hold on to me because they know if they're with me, their mom has to listen to what I'm saying. Another time, I was talking to a mother who was paying attention to me somewhat, and she had five other adult members of the family, but this one little girl who is about two. And so I don't look at children anymore because it breaks my heart. Can't bear to see that dull expression, no twinkle in the eye, no spark of intelligence. Did out of, you know, pumped it into them and sucked it out of them. So, anyway, I never once looked at her child because I didn't want to. And so I was talking to her, though. And before they got into their car, the child came up to me and said, "Thank you." And I looked at her like, "Oh, yeah, I know what you're thanking me for." I just said, "Nice to see you. You're welcome, dear. You know, whatever." And she said it about 60 more times. And all of the adults looked at me like, "You must have a special rapport with children." And I'm like, "No. Everything I said to you is going to save her life, and she knows it. And if she thanks me long enough, maybe you'll notice." And you did. She thanked me so many times that you noticed. Now, if you want to save this child's life, you will take the literature I've just given to you. You will research it as if her life depends on it, because it does. So, six adults, none of them with a clue, and this little kid just thanking me until someone would hear her, you know? So, the kids get it, really get it. Anyway, I probably have made some, you know, grievous error here, and it's not Vicky's fault at all. So I obviously will have to reset the show. I'm dying to speak with her. I've been concerned about her. I haven't walked a mile in her shoes. I certainly have seven members of my family who've been vaccine injured. Not that I haven't walked a mile in the shoes of a family member with tremendous vaccine injury. I'll tell you about all the members of my family who are vaccine injured. My sister was severely mentally retarded, and my mother saw 50 specialists, and not until I was 50 did she finally put it together because of my understanding from all these mothers who had previously had normal children and they were vaccinated and then they were autistic. There was no such word as autism back in the day, and I don't know that her diagnosis would have been different. It may have still been severe mental retardation. I don't know. But I do know that she stimmed, saw vomiting. I know that she, you know, tore the curtains off the windows. I know she would bolt running without any notification in any direction. So her behavior, you know, was peculiar. But the stimming aspect, the repeated actions, this is very typical of autistic children and some of the other things I just said too. But, you know, every kid is got their own thing. But her repeated action was marching her crib from one side of the room, just rocking her whole crib from one side of the room to the other all night long. That's what she did. And my parents had to move out of their apartment and into a house so that, you know, the neighbors would stop complaining. Oh, maybe this is she contacting me. Hold on. Anyway, she died early. She was 23 when she died. And she was told she was put into an institution. I don't know if everyone did that in the day or just my parents, but someone's contacting me now. Okay. Okay, well, maybe I'll have him call in right now. Hold on. Oh, right. Now, Okay. Well, we'll see if Rudy's going to call in. I've interviewed Rudy before with Chris Savage, who's a police officer from Queensland, Australia. And his concern is the incarceration of parents who have been accused of shaken baby syndrome. So he only has 90 seconds, so I hope he gets this message, you know, right away. Interview Rudy because he's one of the people who will be carrying banners for his state. He lives in California, and normally I just have one person per state. I have five people in California. Why? Because of SB 277. That's why. Oh, please, Rudy, call in. He may not see this message. He doesn't look like he has. Oh, well. And Vicky, I don't know what's going on with her. I feel so bad about this. Oh, dear. Okay. So, yeah, so a multitude of vaccine damage in my family, starting with my sister, severe mental retardation. Oh, he's going to call in now. Now. Okay, now. Now, tell him too late in, you know, 5 seconds. He doesn't now. The thing is, the show goes on 10 seconds. Okay, 10 seconds. Let's see if he can make it in 10 seconds. I have another 15 minutes on the air. But, it cuts off the caller's ability to access the show at the half-hour point. Let's see if he makes it. Okay. So, while I'm waiting to see if he makes it, no, he didn't make it. No, the countdown stopped. Ah, well. What people, I say now to people, they really don't take me as seriously as I wish they would. Let's put it that way. Okay. All right, okay. Let me just talk to him and then I'll get back. Okay. So let's talk about other people, members of my family, because I'm just a family, you know, with a lot of acting damage in it. And my mother had a vaccine. She went into the hospital for a bladder infection, and my sister's with, I was in California at the time, and I live in New York. So she was in New York, and I said to my sisters, be with her round the clock. Never let her out of your sight, and tell them that she has had a bad vaccine reaction. So they did all that. Bad vaccine reaction was on her chart, and they were with her round the clock. So then they checked out. My mother checked out, and she was my sister, who was with her always, finally had a moment to go to the bathroom without fear that they would vaccinate her, you see. So she went to the bathroom, and she was in there for 2 minutes. Mind you, my mother was sitting in a wheelchair. While she was gone for 2 minutes, someone in a white coat walked up and vaccinated my mother and informed her it was a pneumonia shot. Well, you know, where was my mother going to go? She was in a wheelchair. So she got vaccinated, and then she had a stroke. And when we brought her back to the emergency room, to the same hospital, ironically, I told them what had happened, and they gave each other like a quick glance of a knowing look, and then scurried around like mad, you know, looking busy or something. So she had a stroke after a pneumonia vaccine, and everybody would like to say, where's the proof? Well, that knowing glance was proof enough for me. The matter is, she was fine until she was vaccinated, just like so many others, just like my sister, who after her annual checkup looked away and never looked back. Say that to an autism mother. Say my child was normal until her annual checkup or her well baby visit, and after that she looked away and never looked back. And they'll say, your kid was vaccinated. So, let's see, I myself have been given a tetanus shot, and I have one unbelievable case of eczema formerly on my hands, which has cleared up, and on my feet, which has never cleared up. It's been, I don't know, a decade, and it curtailed my ability to walk, let's face it. You know, to have skin falling off on the bottom of your feet. And I've gotten down to the bone at some times, you know. So if I take too many showers, you know, I have to kind of not take that many showers so that I have skin on my feet. And they had given me a cream. The number one component in the cream was aluminum. And I said, wow, what's the benefit of aluminum? And I was talking to four doctors who had come to take pictures of my hands because they'd never seen such a dramatic case. They really were startling. I mean, really amazing. But anyway, so they called all the doctors in to look at me and take photos. And when they, you know, gave me the ointment, the first component was aluminum. So I said, you know, what's the benefit of aluminum? And four of them just stood there with their mouths agape, you know, just slightly open, staring at me, and I for like an embarrassingly long time. I said, I wonder how long they're just going to stand there saying nothing with their mouths agape. I don't know. It felt like 10 minutes. I'm sure to them it felt like 3 hours. But finally I broke this embarrassing silence and said, well, is there another product wherein aluminum would not be the first, item in the product? And since they list them, you know, in order of quantity of what's inside, or at least I believe they do. I know in food products they supposedly do that. And so one of the doctors disappeared for half an hour, came back, and said no. And I'm like, wow, you guys can't tell me what benefit aluminum has. It's the number one component in this cream, and there's nothing better or with less aluminum that I can even get. wow, that's amazing, you know. So anyway, it's a neurotoxin. Why would I be putting it on my skin, which is, you know, half raw? So anyway, so that's just me, you know, and it's nothing in the scheme of things except for it curtails my ability to walk sometimes. But in the scheme of things, it's not a big deal. You know, severe mental retardation, that's a big deal. Stroke, that's a big deal. My father shot. Now, mind you, my father was enjoyed the best health of anyone I've ever known in my life. He was a big fruit eater. We always had a gigantic bowl of fruit in the middle of the table. And after dinner, he would just rip into, you know, I don't know, 5 or 7 pieces of fruit, you know. He'd cut half an apple and give half to one of us and cut up a peach or a pear, banana, you know. He's just a fruit-crazed man. And so he was the healthiest person I've ever known. He just never got sick. He once, you know, fell when we were ice skating and broke his injured his shoulder, but that's not sickness. That's a bone. So that's the only other time I ever saw him at a doctor or in a hospital setting where he was a patient, you know. But he got sicker than anyone I've ever seen. And I've seen so many sick people because I used to perform comedy in hospitals and homeless shelters. But the people in the hospital, a lot of them were seriously ill. But my father, on that one flu shot, looked worse and more on death's door than anyone I've ever seen in a hospital, okay? And we did comedy shows in cancer hospitals. So I'm telling you, this man was sick. And I didn't think he'd live. And he didn't think he'd live. I don't think he did either. But he also wanted me nowhere near him. So I, you know, he was sick for months. And every time I'd come near him, he'd go, stay away from me. I'm like, oh, okay, you know, cool it up. I don't want to use that. But anyway, it was basically my mother made him have a flu shot every year because he had to deal with the public and he had to be protected. So every year I plead with her, please don't give him a flu shot. Please let him alone. You know, and every year he gets so sick. My God. So she'd complain that he works too hard and he's sick, and instead of taking a vacation, he gets sick. And I'm like, no, it's the flu shot. So finally, when he was gone, I convinced her not to give him a flu shot. But he literally had to be weeks away from death not to get a flu shot. So that was just common sense. I mean, I really, what does it take, you know? The only person in the family who gets as sick as a dog with the flu is the one guy getting the flu shot. You know, so at her bequest. So years later, I said to her, boy, I always thought Daddy was the strong one. Turns out you are, because, you know, he really went down annually from that flu shot. But you, never. And that's when she said, oh, well, he dealt with the public. I didn't deal with the public, so I didn't need one.
I mean, hello. Okay. So anyway, let's see who else. Oh, my kids. Yeah, my kids have problems. They don't want me to talk about it because anybody who's in the market to get married, they want to feel that they are whole, you know. And they're basically getting on. They're getting along. They're getting along. But I'm telling you, I see a lot of things that didn't previously be there. Let's just put it that way. And so, as I say, they want to be perfect, and I'm worried, are they sterile? The intent is to sterilize. The 50% of our girls are sterile. 80% of our boys have a low sperm count. So, you know, I'm fighting for grandchildren I may never see. This little dog that you hear barking in the background, that may be as close to a baby as I will ever see or hold in my arms again. And I love children. So I'm fighting for grandchildren I may never have, you know. And, you know, as with the anthrax vaccine, what are these vaccines? You know, my mother didn't wake up till my youngest was 18. So I could never benefit from the knowledge that my sister had gone down from a vaccine, you see. And I always used to throw a coin in the fountain and say, my only wish ever was to have normal children, because I saw what the alternative was. And I thought, wow. And I related to her in the fact that I thought, that could have been me. That could have been me. My sister's not at all. It didn't even, could have been that. You know, and now that we know it caused it, it could be anybody. So this is why I'm on this mission. I thought, my God, if all we have to do is stop vaccinating kids and they can live a normal, healthy life, wouldn't that be the easiest thing in the world? Well, turns out to be the hardest thing in the world is to try to prevent people from vaccinating children. You know, we have the ingredients, we have the diseases, and we have the intent. If you want to see four glaring parts of intent and cover-up that predates the whole CDC whistleblower, all you have to do is go to tinyurl.com/vaccinepre2015, third billed Congress, started in 2009 with all vaccines are banned, which was all about the realism of it because I didn't know the specifics. And then banned vaccines 2013 when I knew the ingredients and the diseases, and I had just found out about the intent. Everybody Google, if you will, The Vaccine Hoax is Over by Andrew Baker. The Vaccine Hoax is Over by Andrew Baker. And one of the things he says is, well, it's about the Freedom of Information Act by Lucia Tomaljanovic, and she has co-written a book with Christina England called Vaccination Policy and the UK Government, The Untold Truth. You can get that on Amazon. And I would have to tell you, the first half of this was amazing. Oh, my God. Christina England's half. She's always writing articles about other people's tragedies. But her own story, oh, my Lord, you will be grinding your teeth. It's so upsetting. But anyway, Lucia Tomaljanovic's findings through the Freedom of Information Act are what the second half of that book is, Vaccination Policy in the UK Government, by England and Tomaljanovic at Amazon.com. And so when I found out The Vaccine Hoax Was Over by Andrew Baker, which was about Lucia's findings, I thought, wow, well, what's stopping us now? There's nothing stopping us. Intent has been proven. Well, you know, it's, as I say, they are clinging to, that's their lie, and they're sticking to it. And we're trying to just shatter that lie and save our children. Well, that's all I have to say for now. My best to my friend Vicki Berg, and I will interview Rudy on another program, I hope. Okay, cheerio. Get active.